Okay, good evening all. Good to see everybody tonight. Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans and chapter 5. And we're really going to focus in on verse 5 together, Romans 5 and verse 5. And I wanted us to think on the love of God tonight and probably for a series of Wednesday nights. And I want to tell you that most of these thoughts come straight from J.I. Packer's Knowing God. I know that many of you are very familiar with Knowing God. You've read it. And my mind has kind of been on this week. And so I was rereading the chapter and wanted to share some of these insights with us. I hope it'll be an encouragement, and I'll tell you, we're just kind of getting our feet wet tonight, and we'll come back and follow Wingo Wednesday nights and continue this great theme on the love of God. I want to go ahead and read our passage. It's good to read the word to begin with, and again, we'll focus on verse 5. Romans 5, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And that's our focal point this evening. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. J.I. Packer says this about the love of God. He says, to know God's love is indeed heaven on earth. And the New Testament sets forth this knowledge, not as a privilege of a favored few, but as a normal part of ordinary Christian experience. Something to which only the spiritually unhealthy or malformed will be strangers. Now, if you've read Knowing God, you know great quotes like that are all throughout the book. Great quotes. The love of God is not a privilege of a favored few. It's a normal part of ordinary Christian experience. You know, brethren, the great truth of the love of God is often misunderstood, right? So we probably have unbelieving friends and family who could quickly and easily quote, you know, 1 John 4:16, God is love. Well, that is true, and we can rejoice in that God is love. But sadly, of course, many unbelievers will twist this around to mean, you know, it doesn't matter who I am or anything about me. It doesn't matter if I'm still in unbelief. God will accept me because God loves me because God is love. And of course, that's a great mistreatment of the text. Here's 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And so we see that the context here of this great truth that God is love is his special love for his people. Now, brethren, I do believe there's a real sense in which God loves all peoples. He loves all his creation in a general way. You know, we might call that his common grace. But that's not here what John is referring to, or Paul in Romans 5:5. Paul is not referring here to our love for God. We certainly do love the Lord. But rather here, Paul is referring to our knowledge of God's love for us. Listen to it again. Verse 5 of Romans 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This verse is about knowing and understanding God's love for his people. Now, Packer again points out that Paul never met these Roman believers that he's writing to, right? But he knows that it's true. He knows that all true believers can understand or have some understanding of God's love for them. It's true for them, and it's true also for us. And here Packer gives 3 points to sort of guide our thoughts as we think about this great truth. These 3 points really deserve our attention. And the first thing that he points out is, first points out the verb, sometimes translated shed abroad, or the New King James, poured out. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, this verb could be dumped out, poured out, shed abroad. It's the same word used to describe the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, you recall that Peter quotes the prophet Joel in Acts 2:17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Now that's the same word that we see in Romans 5:5, same word in the Greek. Paul also uses the same kind of language, the same word in Titus chapter 3 and verse 6. Titus 3 and verse 6, where he speaks of God's mercy in regeneration and in the renewing of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 6, "Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." And so we have the same, "whom he poured out on us abundantly." So you have this language in Acts chapter 2, you have this language in Romans chapter 5, and you have it in Titus chapter 3. And what Peter and Paul are discussing and explaining it's not like a slow drizzle, like a leaky faucet of understanding God's love. It is, as Packer says, quote, "It suggests a free flow and a large quantity, in fact, an inundation." It is to have the love of God flowing, flooding, pouring, shed abroad in our hearts. So, brethren, as believers, we experience this God's love flooding onto our hearts by the power of God's Spirit. Secondly, Packer points out the tense of the verb. He pours out. It's a perfect tense. And, Paul's describing here a completed action. So, what Paul is saying, what he's communicating, is that this love of God fills our hearts right now. So, it's not just when we were converted. It's not just when we first believed. But even now, the love of God is filling our hearts. So as believers, we can have assurance. We can assure ourselves of the abiding love of God. He loved you from the foundation of the world. He loved you when he saved you. He loves you now, and he'll love you forever. Number 3, it is the work of the Holy Spirit that instills this knowledge of God's love to us. This is true of the Romans. It was true of Paul. It's true also for us. All of those have been born again, all true believers. Packer points out many are less interested in this particular aspect of the Spirit's ministry. Isn't it true that a lot of times when you hear You know, in fact, I'll just kind of back up the train a little bit. I've ministered to a lot of folks who come from like really kind of like hyper charismatic backgrounds. And so when you even mention the Holy Spirit, they get nervous. Like, where are you going with that? Because things got weird last time I was in church. They talked about the Holy Spirit. There is a really, in our day and age, and I guess for a long time, a great fascination with the extraordinary works of the Holy Spirit and the sensational. And what we want to see here is the glory of the ordinary work of the Holy Spirit. And that is that when a true Christian, even in the context of Romans 5, even in our tribulations, you go through tribulations. I bet you in some degree we've had tribulations this week and perhaps even today, right? So when Paul says, verse 3 of Romans 5, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so, brethren, rejoice in this rather ordinary work of the Holy Spirit that really is wonderful and glorious. Here's a quote by Packer. One would wish that this aspect of his, being the Spirit's ministry, was prized more highly than it is at this present time. We have become preoccupied today with the extraordinary, sporadic, non-universal ministries of the Spirit to the neglect of the ordinary general ones. And he is right. People are often, you know, fascinated with the sign gifts, which of course have ceased. And then they neglect the wonderful work of the Spirit shedding the love of God abroad in our hearts. So brethren, in those low tide moments of your life, when the recollection comes, but I know God is with me and I know God loves me. There used to be an older saint. I'd go visit her, and Elizabeth and Sophia would go with me a lot too. I'd go visit her in the nursing home. She died at 96 years old. And she talked about 1940 like it was yesterday. And a really fascinating lady. But she knew this, you know, and her world was very small at that age and, you know, just in the home. But she would testify, well, you know, I know the Lord's with me. And I know that he loves me. And, you know, that seems so simple. But let me tell you something. That, friends, that's radical. That's life-changing. And, you know, it's not the flashy stuff that so many people are attracted to. Preaching that kind of text doesn't, you know, doesn't cause any swinging on the chandelier, so to speak, as sometimes we might hear about. But it's wonderful. And don't neglect that wonderful work of God's Holy Spirit. You know, brethren, the church of Ephesus, right, they experienced a really mighty movement of God's Spirit. So you can see that in Acts 19, where the, you know, Spirit of God was mightily at work. It was prevailing mightily, Paul says. So much so that people were burning their magic books. Christians, saved people coming out of the darkness were burning their magic books. And yet, in Ephesians 3, we see Paul praying. Paul kneels and he prays. In verse 16, we see that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to, listen, comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you be filled with all the fullness of God. So even in a city where they had experienced really an extraordinary move of God, what is Paul praying for? He's getting on his knees. He's praying the saints would comprehend. He prays that they would know, they'd have knowledge of the width and depth and height of the love of Christ, which surpasses all understanding. That's his prayer. And so, brethren, that's a good prayer for us to pray too, you know. And, you know, we all know our own sins, right? We all know our faults, our failures, our sins. Isn't it a wonderful thing in the midst of that to also realize that Jesus loves me? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And, you know, oftentimes in the Christian life, it's just true. You know, we progress and we get deeper in understanding. But I tell you what, it's those things we've known since we were little children that will carry us through sometimes our most difficult seasons. Now, I'm going to end our time tonight. We'll come back in following weeks with this one thought, okay? Packer connects revival. J.L. Packer connects revival with the church's knowledge of God's love for his people. And again, you know, Mr. Packer points us to the truth that many people are seeking the sensational. But we only truly understand the love of God for us, and our minds and hearts are only really open to that when we fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus. That's where humility comes. That's when honesty about our great need comes. That's when honesty about the depth of our sin comes. Revival is always about looking to Christ. It's about taking our eyes off of us, taking our eyes off our performances, and looking unto Jesus. I would encourage us to do that tonight. Look to Christ. Look at his wonderful face. Look at Christ crucified for you. And see how he willingly and lovingly laid down his life for his sheep. Look how he was wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. And when you see Christ crucified, when you recognize that you have a righteousness that's not your own, but a righteousness imputed to you, then, brethren, we think, what a wonderful Savior. What amazing love and grace. So we want to build on that. We'll come back in following weeks, explore that a little deeper, and I hope it'll be an encouragement to our hearts. So, Father, we thank you for our time together tonight. I pray it's been an encouragement. I recognize in many ways it's been very simple. The Spirit of the living God, we pray that you would fill our hearts and minds with a depth of, with the knowledge of God's love for us. Help us to think deeply about that. Lord, for those who are going through trials and tribulations and struggles, like an older saint that I spoke about earlier, help us, Lord, to just cling to the truth. I know he's with me. I know he loves me. And I know one day Jesus will take me home. So help us, Lord, in these coming weeks to think about the depth of love you have for us. And help us, Lord, to be encouraged by that and to grow in our faith through that. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.